Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Psychic Science. Here's the ones. Okay, we are on with Amy today. Amy Cavanaugh is doing her next segment of the. I'm having a brain moment today. Chakras. Amy's doing her chakra class with us today. There we go. I knew I could get it out there. Anyway, let's see. A few announcements there. As always, get a hold of our psychic Jethro at www.jethrosmith.net. And he is at 928-284-0437. And that's to book a reading or get an autographed copy of his book. You can also reach him at psychicjethro@aol.com. For any of the above, he does readings, you know, get a copy of his book, check out, especially at that website, the www.jethrosmith.net, check out the upcoming classes, ongoing classes. I know he offers some online and some like through email. So he's got affordable classes that teach us good things. So especially any of you who have asked in a lot of questions, we get the frequently asked question moment, and it's like we haven't quite made a list of those yet, but that's what he's kind of trying to address in some of the classes and, you know, teaching some things that he's doing with that. And then I'm Kelly. I do KC birth cards. And right now I do have an email that's being overrun by Facebook posts and blog talk posts. I checked in yesterday and it was like over 700 of those. And I went, okay, I'm going to see if I can't shut some of this off because I've got to be able to find the people who are trying to email me for coffee. And it's like, if you've emailed me and have not gotten a response, either, you know, email me again because it got lost in the avalanche there someplace, or I will eventually get back through and unbury, you know, your email so I can find you. But the best place to reach me is 719-289-4907. Leave your name, leave your number. I do my best to return calls. Sometimes, like, right up to airtime today, I was sitting out here, and I had zero cell reception. It's really an interesting area we live in, and sometimes if the cell tower signals don't feel like they want to come on, I guess they don't. So I sit here and go, well, let's see, I've got calls I need to make, and I can't call anybody because I have no service. So for any of you who have, you know, been on the cell wavelength, it's like, you know, how that goes, and I don't know if we're having solar flares again. I'm not sure what, but we've been having a little bit of wacky stuff going here. All righty. Well, let's get to our lovely Amy here today. And Amy, are you with us?
Yes, believe it or not, I am.
Yay!
Second here, try to get, you know, what you're talking about with respect to so many things that we take for granted, cell phone service, internet, Facebook, and things like that. And the there's just so much energy between the there are solar flares going on, and there's places on the internet that you can track them, and they're real. And then there's also the energy. Yeah, I'll try to post a link. And there's also just all of our energy. And I'm having just a horrible time with anything that has anything to do with that requires energy, which is basically everything. So.
Yeah, but I was going to say, we are
but it shows,
if I can ask that.
But where it really shows up is when I can't make phone calls or I can't get on the internet and I can't communicate. But one of the things we are here to talk about the chakras, but one of the things that I'm really trying to focus on is because so much of my life now is electronic, and not to be Miss Doomsday or anything like that, but how would you get in touch with your friend? I don't know any of my Blog Talk friends' mailing address so that I could send them something via Pony Express. I know how to get in touch with them telepathically if they pick up on it, or through internet and cell phone. Anyway, so it's been a real learning curve. So
a real eye-opening experience, huh?
eye-opening and patient, very much a lesson in patience. Excuse me.
There we go. I was going to say, oh, no, I thought I lost you.
Yeah, no. Okay. Very much a lesson in patience. So, before I had to take my before the energies caused me to take a 2-week hiatus on all this, we've talked about the chakras one a week. So far we've talked about the root chakra, which is also known as the tribal chakra. That's where we house our sense of being, our sense of our life on earth. And it's also where we house everything related to our ancestors. I mean, our ancestors of generations ago and past lives. And I mean, our ancestors, our family, both living and dead. It is in the root chakra where most of us, in each of these chakras, as you go up, has a higher vibration. And if you talk about yesterday, Linda was on and talking about people who vibrate at a low vibration as opposed to people who are vibrating at higher vibrations. The root chakra is a very low vibration, and it's really where our culture operates right now. It's the hunt and gather chakra, and the energies and the mindset you need to, find water when it's not coming out of a faucet or hunt down your dinner with a bow and arrow is quite different than the energies you need in a world that's full of electronics and in a service society and things like that. So really a lot of the sort of metaphysical anthropologists are saying that this whole shift that we're talking about, New World Order, rapture, whatever the word is, whatever noun you ascribe to what's going on, is basically that we've gotten to the point where we cannot sustain ourselves, the life that we've created by just living in this root chakra. And for this whole idea of people, this ascension and everything like that, the big shift is really going from living in the root chakra to living in the heart chakra. Of course, before we get up to the heart chakra, we pass through two other chakras. The navel or sacral chakra, that has to do with our reproduction, both sex and having children, as well as our creations, what we create, and then our solar plexus chakra, which is our sense of self. A couple weeks ago when I was talking, I mentioned that it's sort of at the solar plexus chakra where we have the first hints of having intuition. That's the whole thing. Like down in the root chakra and the sacral chakra, they're not based on any sort of intuition or any sort of feedback from higher sources. But when we get to our solar plex, when we say, oh, I just felt it in my gut, that isn't just a saying. That's an affirmation or an indication that there is indeed chakras. And it is in your solar chakra where you get these gut feelings. Mm-hmm. One level up is the heart chakra. And when I went to see James von Prague a couple of weeks ago, when he was doing chakra meditation, and there's a lot of, if you go on, for those of you who are on Spotify, I found a beautiful chakra meditation by Caroline Mice. There's just all sorts of tools out there. Certainly it's good to support other people who are doing this work and Jethro's classes and things like that. But so many people will go to Jethro's class or they'll go to a conference or something. They'll meditate. They'll get in tune with this stuff. And then they go back to their world that doesn't have that meditation or that music or something. But there are tools all over the internet. I just found a bunch of them on Spotify. Going into the heart chakra and speaking about Spotify at the same time, because they're both green dots. In Spotify, I found a beautiful prayer by Marianne Williamson. And Marianne Williamson is the woman who wrote a lot of books that were based on the Course in Miracles and took the concepts and principles of Course in Miracles, which was a channeled piece of work, and made it mainstream. And I've got to tell you, from going to conferences and all of these things, there's a lot of people who I think just write a lot of books and are good writers, and there's a lot of people who have actually done the work, and Marianne Williamson qualifies in that category. In her prayer, and I'll leave you with this as we start into our heart chakra, is the last line was, "Let my life be a bridge from the problem to the answer." A lot of times, because I know everyone I know right now is having a lot of problems, whether they're their own health problems of their families, financial problems, just everyone's
going on,
struggling. And I think it's really important that each of us each of us move into our heart, because it is in our heart chakra. When we're in our solar plexus or in our lower chakras, we cannot feel the struggles of others, and that's why we feel alone. But if you can feel the struggles of the others, and even though someone might be having a financial problem and someone else might be having cancer, there is no order of difficulty in problems. Anything that keeps you disconnected from God is an equal problem. You're a flat tire, water in your cell phone, cancer, your husband just died, your child just died. If that is keeping you from God, it is a problem. And it's of equal. There's no order in these things. But again, it's let my life be a bridge, not let me solve this problem, because so many of these problems that all of us are dealing with, we are not going to be able to solve on our own. But we can get in the way of the solution by not staying in our heart chakra, operating out of fear. You know, fear is a root chakra based thing, and love is a heart chakra. And I got off track. James von Prague, when he was talking about the chakra meditation, when you're identifying all of them, and sometimes people have, like, you pour these buckets of colored water. There's a million ways. You just have to. It's just a matter of becoming in tune to them, knowing they exist, and knowing what emotions resonate. Because once you know what emotions resonate down there, and then, you know, we go through all the associated sicknesses and things like that, everything starts making sense. Everything, we get this idea that everything is one, because it is all one. But in his meditation, he talks about the heart chakra as sort of being the blender, where the earth-based chakras, the root, the sacral, and the solar plexus mix with your intuitive, psychic, whatever you want to call them, chakras, being the crown chakra, your third eye intuition, and your throat chakra, where you speak your truth. So they mix. If you're thinking you're going through a meditation, these are where each of my chakras are. These are the emotions that are housed in each of them. All of those meet in the middle, in the fourth chakra, in the heart chakra, and that's where all of your emotions are processed. If your emotion is just going to come out in its raw form, you're operating out of whatever chakra that emotion is tied to. But it's in our heart chakra where we process our emotions, and we have the ability to change our mind about the emotion and go from fear to love. Forgiveness is what is really the big tool of all of this, and forgiveness is what takes place in the heart chakra. So again, it's number four out of the seven main ones that we're describing, so it's right in the middle. So it really does make sense. And if you think of these things, because you can't really just operate in your woo-woo chakras because you will be of no value to the earth. And you can't just operate down in your root chakra because you will be hunting and gathering the planet into extinction. So just keep in mind to process everything through your heart. So when we were talking about all these chakras in the past, we would discuss them as far, in terms of the element and their gender and things like that. So the heart chakra is an air chakra, and it resonates to the sense of touch. And again, that makes sense because when we're in love, we hug or kiss or, you know, express touching emotions. It's a female chakra. That doesn't just mean that females have them. It just is part, you know, when you look at the yin and the yang, it's on the female side, which means all female chakras, and I learned about this a little bit more, rotate counterclockwise. But then my Reiki teacher said they all rotated the same. And of course, we got in a psychic fight, as my son calls them, because I guess some of the groups I'm in on Facebook are open and he can read my arguing with psychics gone mad. And he said that they all rotate the same way. So I said, well, you know what, Mr. Reiki Master, let's get out a pendulum and see what they do. And it turns out that not only do they rotate in different directions, but they rotate different in males and females. And, you know, really, if you want to get in touch with your chakras, and this is the way the chakras first became real to me. I mean, I used to think, I've known about them for a long time, and I remember when I was sick with cancer, I spent a lot of time thinking about my yellow self chakra, probably in some sort of self-preservation. But I really got to learn my chakras through the use of dowsing rods and pendulums, because they picked up on the energy. So they proved to me that there was energy associated with these different parts of the body. And it showed the direction that they were going in. And also with the rods, like if somebody's not speaking their truth or something, when I do chakra readings with people with dowsing rods, and they're slammed shut. So really, you just have to find your own way to find your chakras. But for me, using the pendulums and the dowsing rods, and just recently the pendulums to learn about this rotation thing, made them real. It just wasn't a bunch of people talking about something. You know, that gave me scientific evidence that there are these centers of energy in my body. So, of course, it's in the center of your chest, where your heart is, assuming you have one. Some days I don't think I do, but it's in the center of my chest.
It's still there. I'm here. I breathe.
Right.
Yes, I'm here.
It beats. Sometimes it feels, yeah. And it's real. You know, when people say, oh, they died of a broken heart, or because we process our emotions there, it's true. I bet more people have died of broken hearts than have been listed on death certificates. It resonates to the musical note F and the sound ah, like ma, ah. So again, for people who, everyone has a different way that they, a different sense, like our five senses, not our clair senses. That's the strongest. You know, some people, that's why the colors are there. That's why, you know, the scents are there. That's why the sounds are there. And sometimes if you're having a problem like a blockage or something in chakra, I put a little piano on my cell phone. I also have a little chakra chime on my cell phone. And playing that note that chakra is going to resonate to it, and you will make a change. You know, will it be a sufficient change? Can you sit there And, you know, at the end of the day, we have to do work. We have to change our behavior. You know, you're not going to heal. You know, if you hate your mother, the solution to hating your mother is not sitting there playing the letter F on your iPhone piano. But it could help change the energy. So the gland associated with the heart chakra is the thymus. And it controls the heart and the blood, the heart and blood circulation, your immune system, your lungs. Notice that one of the things I noticed, which is, you know, not that many people that smoke cigarettes anymore until you go to a New Age conference. And the number of smokers is off the freaking charts. I have never seen, and drinkers, it was crazy. But again, you know, a lot of times people, their lungs shut down. A lot of people smoke, not for the nicotine. A lot of people smoke, and I still smoke, and I keep saying, I can't breathe. And, you know, a lot of times when you get upset, you can't breathe. It's because you're, because something has hurt your heart, or something is threatening your heart. So, of course, there's gemstones associated with each of these chakras. And again, I like the idea of associating things with this, but I try not to get too caught up, you know, by my way into wellness. So the stones are aventurine, jade, kunzite, and then rose quartz, which of course is pink, because a lot of times we also talk about the heart as being pink, because I think of love as pink. And that's why one of the, so rose quartz, even though that's pink, is often associated with it. And the one that I like the most is watermelon tourmaline, which is like a pink stone, but it has a green like shell on the outside of it, like a watermelon. So it's pink and green mixed together. The associated aromas are, I don't even know how to say this. It's like how do you say that one? Marjoram? Marjoram? Not marijuana.
Okay. Marjoram is a spice.
Right. Marjoram, okay. Orris root, yarrow, pink grapefruit, and melissa. So some of those are roots. Some of those are wild flowers or whatever, and some of them are spices. And of course, pink grapefruit is a fruit. And again, with the pink, is often associated with it, with the heart. So the qualities and functions of the heart chakra are compassion, real love, not like control or ego-based love, but pure love, the love of the universe. Perseverance, forgiveness, healing, understanding, harmony, and transformation. And transformation, because when you change your mind, you change your heart. The big, big key to change is forgiveness. And forgiveness takes place in the heart. The associated dysfunctions are that you cannot either give or accept love from others, asthma, lung cancer, breast cancer, which I suffered from. I had stage 3 breast cancer, pneumonia, upper back pain, shoulder pain, jealousy, and anger. Of course, anger also is a different kind of anger. You know, it's really just more anger in your relationship. This is, and of course, the verb associated with the heart is to love. Some affirmations that may help you remember your heart are that I am an open channel for divine love. I forgive myself. I put my heart into everything that I do. And, of course, we talk about the foods. And Callie put up on the psychic chat site a good chart about the food with the alkalines in them. So, but this is a little bit different. These are foods that nourish your fourth chakra, and of course they're green. Avocado, green beans, broccoli, cucumbers, limes, green peppers, lettuce, okra, olives, and then of course you would go back over to the pink grapefruit and any pink food. I don't think pink cotton candy counts.
Possibly not, yeah.
So when we're talking about the fourth chakra, the heart, again, it is a transformational chakra, is because where we can transform our emotions are just raw energy that are totally based on our past. You know, our emotions, how two people can emotionally react differently to something is because two people had two different pasts. So it's where we process what happens to us. We think of like our emotions of being processed in our head, and then people that have we talk about an emotional intelligence and things like that. But really, if you look at successful adults, and when I mean successful, I'm measuring them by the quality of their life, not so much like by their bank account or whatever, is that they have a sense of emotional stability. They're not reactionary. Most of us humans struggle with being reactionary, especially in the face of a crisis. You know, anyone can be emotionally stable when things are running smooth, but suddenly you lose your job, your car breaks down, is floating down in a flood. You know, someone dies, we seem to think that that's an opportunity to operate under special rules, when it's actually quite the opposite. You're better off acting like an idiot when everything's going well, when the stakes aren't so high. But if there's any time that we need a sense of emotional maturity and stability, it's when things are going bad. Like when things are going your way, it's really easy to say, "Oh, I just turned it over to God," and then like as you know, and then God magically gave you exactly what you asked for. But turning things over to God when your son's in jail, or your husband just died, or someone lost their job, or something like that takes a totally different set of tools, and I don't think that we rely upon our tools as much as often. I can honestly say that if I got a phone call and I was said, "I'm sorry, your son's in jail," my first reaction would not be to meditate. I would grab my phone and call, you know, I would just go into "I can fix this" mode, not what Marianne Williams said, "Let my life be a bridge from the problem to the answer." So it really involves having to release our emotional pain. I just wrote an article, you know, because I lost my husband last year, and a lot of my work surrounds grief, and I have a lot of I'm in a lot of Facebook groups and stuff with a lot of widows and widowers, and they, all of us seem to get stuck. Some days I think I'm okay, and then all of a sudden I'll be stuck, and it's because I've not released my emotional pain. Sometimes I see, and I know this in other aspects of my life, I did a little better. I probably got like a B+ on husband dying, but there's a couple of other emotional crises I've had that I've gotten D's, and I think F would be that you, I don't think I failed, but I've gotten D-. And it's because I was not willing to let go of my emotional pain. And it wasn't because I wasn't capable of it. It was because my emotional pain is serving a purpose. If I go back to when I had breast cancer, I used my breast cancer as an excuse for everything under the sun, whether it was why I hadn't paid the electric bill, why I was late for work, why dinner wasn't on the table, why I didn't do the laundry, anything was my breast cancer. And I held on to the emotional pain because by holding on to the emotional pain, by becoming a victim of my circumstances, I thought it made me special, and I didn't have to operate under the laws of the universe. And I had a choice not to operate under the laws of the universe. But as a result of not operating under the laws of the universe, it affected my relationships. It affected my job. It affected my finances. And it affected everything. You always have a choice to not operate under the laws of the universe, but you will pay, you know, you'll pay a price. There is, there's a price associated with it. Other things too, you know, when people die or there's something, you know, a lot of times people hold on to emotional pain associated with the loss of a loved one because that is the only, they feel, that's their only remaining connection to that person. And they've turned the pain into a replacement for that person. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to walk around like a martyr. But it does mean that as humans and knowing that we came here with a contract or a plan or there was some reason we came here with some lessons to learn that really, and I am, last week the IRS garnished my paycheck and they took like a really lot of money. Old Amy would have gone crazy, but this is where I know that little that I'm growing. I actually felt gratitude, even though my bank account was empty and I was going to have to live on the quarters I found on the floor for till I went and worked this out. First reaction wasn't like, oh, no, I know that I'm supposed to, like, if I was involved, I would. My first reaction was, I am so grateful because I will finally resolve this. But again, that wasn't a person. We do easier with situations that don't involve people than we do with releasing the emotional pain tied to relationships. And, you know, the closeness of the relationship has a direct result, you know, has a direct impact on what we do with all of that emotional pain. So there's pain, but pain is supposed to be an indication of that there's a need to change. Sadly, in our society, emotional pain, physical pain, any kind of pain has become a sign to go to the doctor and get a pill. And yeah, what happens when we take the pill is we shut down the symptoms, which in, when we're talking about emotional pain is we're shutting down the emotions. And then we don't change and we don't grow because the pain's the motivator. Pain's motivation to do something different. In this case, think something different, let go, or heaven forbid, forgive. There's a lot of confusion about forgiveness. And I see it play out. It's interesting because we're just all human. And it's interesting, you know, I go to these conferences. I won this trip to this conference. And you think it's like all these really evolved people because if they were going to invest the level of money it took to get there, they must take this stuff seriously. They still don't understand forgiveness. You know, they say, oh, yeah, I forgave my mother and then spend the next 5 minutes ranting about their mother's behavior and their childhood and things like that. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying I'm sorry or it's okay. Forgiveness is you change your heart. You go to a place of you let go of the emotional pain associated with it and live your life differently. Forgiveness doesn't mean that the person gets to come to Thanksgiving dinner. Forgiveness could mean that you never speak to that person again. It's whatever has to happen to heal the emotional pain associated with this event. Caroline,
my question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Got a real quick question for you here. What I've heard something around, you know, forgiveness is that forgiving someone is not the same as saying, oh, it's okay that you did that to me. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that you are now releasing them so they quit hurting you, something like that along those lines.
Exactly. It's not a pardon. It's not repentance. It's really to restore yourself to the emotional place you were before this transgression or perceived transgression took place. Like when people forgive someone because they murdered their son, it's not okay. And you don't have, but you are just restoring yourself. And forgiveness is for yourself. You're not doing the other person. Most of the people that you have not forgiven have no idea the emotional space that they are taking up in your psyche. And they don't care.
If they
hated you, you know, right? If it was your if it was someone where it didn't end well, they'd be glad that they were ruining your emotional well-being. So it's not for the person, you know. Making amends is different. Making amends is I stole and here's the money back or something like that. That's making amends. This is forgiveness is releasing the emotional energy. And it is essential until you forgive any place where forgiveness is needed, you are blocking love and creating fear. And when people are like, why are all my relationships the same? Or why is my life like Groundhog Day? That's all tied to forgiveness. You know, that's really all tied to forgiveness. You're holding on to some sort of emotional pain or thought pattern that is not working, and you keep ending up in the same place. Again, it's a matter of managing our emotions. You can have reactions to things. You're not supposed, and people, we used to get in this conversation all the time when we talk about, because the Course in Miracles, the core premise of the Course in Miracles, the lessons, the daily lessons and the workbook and everything like that, is that there's only love. The lack of love is fear. And the way fear is transformed to love is through forgiveness. So for those of you who are not familiar with it, there's a daily lesson and it says something like nothing is real or things are not the way I see them to be, and these basic statements. But what people do is they meet in groups and discuss the Course in Miracles. So then we get to things like serial killers or how can you forgive, you know, it's always special rules. There are no special rules. There are basic laws of the universe. Nothing is special. And sure, we don't want serial killer. We don't want to encourage murder. But at the same time, it's not like you have to invite murderers over to dinner, but you do have to forgive them. And we don't want, even just take it away from something like your family, where that gets difficult. Think of our reaction. Think of Nancy Grace on TV. She's a prime example of an unforgiving bitch. These things happen. Casey Anthony. How could this be? You know, and she just holds on to it and redecorates it. And you know what? It doesn't do anybody any good. Kaylee Anthony's still dead. Casey Anthony's still hurt, you know, still in her psychic, you know, but the outrage, and we love to be unforgiving because it makes us feel superior. I could never kill some, you know, if you forgive the murderer, you feel like, oh, well, maybe I could, you are recognizing the humanness of that person. And that sort of saying, I could, in the right circumstances, I could murder. And that's a true statement. It's true of all, you know, it's true of all of us. But if you think of that whole reaction, and, you know, Nancy Grace is a perfect, because whether you enjoy watching the show or not, or whether she's a good person or not a good person, that really isn't what I'm trying to focus on. Just think of her outrage, and think of that superiority that comes out with all that outrage and all the energy she creates around all these horrific crimes, especially when they're against children, you know, and she makes these statements, you know, about the perpetrator and the innocent child. And, you know, could you imagine if we had Nancy Grace, like what was really going on? There was a soul contract between, and it was many years ago, you know, and really told about the story of what was going on an energetic level. Or how would someone like Jesus explain something like that? He certainly wouldn't explain. Yeah, go back to that. What would Jesus do? You know, would he explain, would he create a victim and a villain? And our culture loves to do that and loves to not forgive the villain, because as long as they don't forgive the villain, as long as they hate what the villain did, they have that emotion, and they use that emotion to protect them from becoming that person. So that's really kind of a good example of how this stuff plays out, how we use these emotions for our ego. It makes us feel better. If we hate Michael Vick, who did all those, you know, the dogs, we won't abuse the animals. No, that is not a true statement. You know, we don't abuse animals by managing our emotions. It's very difficult because in our culture, we feel like we should have an opinion, and we also feel like if we didn't have strong opinions about things, we would be apathetic. But that's not true. If we didn't have these really strong levels of emotions about these things, we could be more loving. We could give, the other thing we seem to do, instead of giving love, it's, you know, instead of giving love to a victim, because that involves an investment and a commitment to that person, you know, we like quick fixes. And that's why we love the pharmaceutical industry, because it's a quick fix. You know, do we want to, when someone is grieving, do we want to go move into their house for 2 months and make sure they eat and take a shower and things like that? No, we don't have time for it. You know, do we want to, the child that Nancy Grace rants on and about, do we want to adopt that kid? No, but we'll send them some money. Or a classic example was the woman who was bullied on the bus. You know, the school bus, and the 13-year-old boys were making fun of her and saying, oh, your family died because they hated you and stuff like that. Horrible, horrible statements and a horrible reflection of our society and our priorities. But we sent her like $500, $600. She probably has $1 million by now. You know, we sent money, because it's easier to send money than to manage our, you know, to manage our emotions, or to take a long, hard look at what sort of culture would breed 13-year-old boys who would even know to say things like that. So it's hard work. I mean, it's very hard work to come from your heart. It's much easier to come out of our root chakra, which is why we always operate out of our root chakra, but our life becomes richer and more meaningful, and we begin to feel a connection with the universe, with God, Jesus, whatever, when we open up, you know, when we open our hearts, and we might experience emotions that give rise to fear, but we don't react to them. So that means when we're lonely, we have the emotional maturity to go join a group or go do some volunteer work. Or if we are feeling betrayed, focus on the forgiveness. Or if we're feeling jealousy or something like that, you know, if we take a minute to process our emotion instead of react from our emotion, that's where the solutions come. That's when your life really does become a bridge between the problem and the answer, and not a bridge to nowhere or not a bridge to the place you've always been. So, generosity. One of the things I really see brings people great joy, and one of the things I try to tell people, and I even do myself, you know, because, like, I got put in this economic situation because I get a certain amount of money every 2 weeks, and I got 10% of it, and the IRS got the rest. So, but still, people think, oh, I don't have money to, you know, I don't have money to give, or be generous with your time. It's things like generosity. And but usually if somebody doesn't have any money, they'd be like, oh, I can't do that. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. That's fear. You know, generosity, you're extending, it's an extension of, and it's an extension of love. It's creating an affirmation that there is sufficient abundance in the world to take care of ourselves. So there's a good amount of opportunity, and there's a good amount of here's some questions for self-examination, and these come out of Caroline Mice's book, Anatomy of the Spirit. So if you ever, I get all these books at Goodwill because I find that people read these books in times of trouble, then they're better again, and they want to destroy all the evidence. So just like you throw the candy wrapper, stuff it under your car or something, they destroy all the evidence that they were on some kind of spiritual quest by taking all their books to Goodwill. But the Anatomy of the Spirit is basically seven stages of power and healing, and it is based on the seven chakras. And she lists some questions here. You know, and then there's all the chart. I like the chart because it looks like USA Today, but I don't think it's necessary. You can't heal by reading a book, but I try to just get them, look at them, you know, and then hand them off to someone. Just keep them moving, because that keeps the energy moving, and things can only change when things are moving. Nothing changes when things are stagnated or frozen, and that's how illness, and that, because the toxins become matter, and that's how we get sick. But she has a list of questions here, and maybe we can go over them. You know, what emotional memories do you still need to heal? You know, we all have one, no matter how far we've come, no matter how many people we've healed, and no matter what healing powers we have, we still have, each of us have some emotional memories that need to be healed, and you need to be able to identify them. Not so much that you have to heal, the healing will come, but the healing will come by identifying the core features of them and recognizing when it's about to be Groundhog Day again. What relationships in your life require healing? And again, for, we've all got some, and what does healing mean? You know, healing doesn't mean you're going to sit down at Thanksgiving dinner. What does healing mean? Healing means changing your reaction to the emotions. And you can't, some people have had horrible, horrible past. I mean, some of the stories that I've heard, I mean, I just know Keith's childhood was one of the saddest, most dysfunctional things I have ever known. And I know so much about it, like some of it is even, I think, managed to get into my DNA because it was so profound and we were so connected. But he did not heal. He is a classic example of someone who could not let go. And his horrible childhood, and believe me, it was horrible. There was a bunch of money, which made it even worse because then nobody knew it was horrible. If this was going on in a tenement or someplace where people were living close to each other instead of like 5-acre tracts of land, somebody would have known. But he held on to that as an excuse to be mean to people, as an excuse to be it just served him well. It was easier and more, it was more comfortable, familiar, the pain of being mean and ornery and argumentative with everybody was more comfortable for him than the pain of facing the emotions and the emotional memories that, you know, that were tied to this childhood. And his healing always takes place, but his healing required him to leave the body. My brother is very sick right now, and he's in the exact same spot on holding on to this, because we were both adopted, and I think it both has to do with that. Hold on to it like it is his most prized possession, because it is his free pass to just ramrod through life like a great big bully. And again, with him, healing will take place. But for many people, healing, you know, for those of us who are willing to do the work and change our minds while we're still in bodies, we get to have heaven on earth if we're willing to do the work. But if we're not, it's fine too, because we will just continue with our old patterns and healing will take place. But my big thing now is I'll do anything on this time on earth as long I will pay whatever price, learn whatever lessons I need to do on this time down here as long as I don't have to come back. And I hear so many people saying that if you don't want to come back, you're going to have to do the work, because they're basically assignments. You're going to have to change your mind about your emotions, and then act differently, and that's when the miracle occurs. That's what, of course, a miracle is. That's why they call that a miracle, because it is. And the next question: do you ever use your emotional wounds to control people or situations? You know, of course, I just described it in many. You know, my breast cancer. Yes, people love to be the victim, the martyr, there's all these little, and have an excuse for it. And the excuse is your past. But your past isn't really your past. Your past is just your memories about your past. Your past is no realer than, Jiminy Cricket or whatever. It's just, you know, so it's a matter of changing your reaction to these emotions. And that, again, happens in the heart chakra. And again, you know, this really understanding forgiveness, understanding the difference between forgiveness and repentance and making amends. And that it's not a matter of you have to go track everybody down or write out I'm sorry letters to people. The words don't matter. With so much of this work we do, the words don't matter. And even what we do doesn't matter. What matters is what we think. And if we, but then the benefit is when we change what we think, it'll change what we actually do. So that for now is what I have. I think we have 90 minutes scheduled, so we can talk. We can keep, if you have some questions, or if anybody has some questions. I'm not in. Let me see if I can get in the chat. I was in, and then of course I was out. But
okay, I'll just type it in here. Do we have any questions for Amy from the chat room? Yeah, question mark. I can say it a lot faster than I can. Let me see if I can do the click here. Okay. You guys can call in. It's like right now we've got,
we're not doing the reading, so you can just call in if anybody has a comment or a story or a question about all this. But just to be clear, we're not calling in for readings.
Right.
Jethro and Linda will be on tomorrow. Not tomorrow, Friday. Today's only Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is Wednesday.
Friday.
I'm a day ahead
and
of
then,
myself.
You know, so people for the reason. So I just wanted to be clear on that. And
right.
When we do that, I did want to remember, Linda is just amazing. And she was on yesterday, and she made mention. I have a friend, and her name's Kelly, and she is one of my widow friends. She is a lot younger than
cool.
I, and she lost her husband suddenly. And for a lot of the younger widows, it's a lot different because there's a lot more lost, opportunity. But her story, I mean, it was just a beautiful love story how they came together. And on Friday the 13th is the first anniversary of his death. She's also a comedian, and it's pretty funny. And she did go to a medium, and her experience with a medium, she's not as woo-woo as a lot of us are, but it was very powerful. It was a very real experience. But to honor her husband on the first anniversary of his death, he was an EMT, and he was also one of those chronic volunteer people. So she's sort of creating this pay-it-forward day, and she's just encouraging everybody to engage in some sort of random act of kindness and then share it on her, and share it on her webpage. And also, she pointed out that, or I'm making a bigger deal of this, that his favorite food, which their family's going to be eating, is chicken parmesan and carrot cake. So all of America on Friday should be eating carrot cake, chicken parmesan, and practicing a random act of kindness. And you had a question.
Yep, we got a couple questions from chat here. Let's see. Jethro says, yes, how can we avoid the lightning energy that's out there? Jethro, are you being serious here?
I believe that I do not properly ground or shield myself. I honestly believe that because we cause everything that happens to us, and nothing is so special. And I'm starting, and I think that if we really know how energy works, think about the energy that makes the lights go on and things like that, I think we just need to shield ourselves. Today my car broke down, and my phone, and it started this 2 weeks of hell. I left the house. I was having a bad day at my day job, the one that pays me. Somebody was not doing things my way. And I ran out because I was hungry. And not only was I not properly shielded, like ground, my chakras, basically you can balance your chakras through a chakra meditation, ground yourself, and then shield yourself. You know, if you I hated science fiction, but start watching science fiction and you learn how to do all these things because you got to shield, you got to shield yourself because the energy, you know, because the energy is out there. And I did not shield myself emotionally that day. I was emotions run wild because I was angry at work. So I was like, I'm hungry, you know, and, it was self-will, you know, there was a couple of aspects to it. I was not grounded. I was not shielded energy-wise, and I was self-will run riot. So shielding ourselves, you know, shielding ourselves by the choices we make and shielding ourselves, you know, energetically by balancing our chakras, grounding ourselves, and making sure that we put in, it really needs to be, you know, we talk about, oh, put a bubble of white light around you. Too much room for the stuff to get in the too much room for the stuff to get in the bubble, or else you end up like the boy in the plastic bubble bouncing around and you're not there. It needs to fit like a wetsuit, like a skin tight mermaid tail, you know, of protection right up against, like you shrink wrap yourself, and just need to find different meditations and different ways ways to do that. But we dabble in this stuff. We don't take it to, you know, we don't take it, at least me, dabble in the stuff. It's like, oh yeah, sure, ground myself, la da da. But when I feel like not, when I feel like not doing it because something's more important, you know, we need to treat this stuff as being sacred laws of the universe, not some like entertainment or some sort of hobby. These are either universal truths that are always true and we treat them that way, or that this is like our own version of the Nancy Grace Show. So that's my answer, Jethro, on that one.
Alrighty. Let's see. Now, next one was from Amy. It's like her question was, let's see, I'll run back here and find this here. I redid it here. Okay. Jan asked, in the midst of a hard situation and anger can arise easily, what do you do right away, Amy?
What you have to do right away is stop. Just stop. Make sure you're doing what your body's supposed to do. What I notice when I get angry, the first thing I do is I stop breathing. When you're not breathing, you don't have oxygen going to your brain, and you can be pretty sure you're going to make a bad decision. You know, so really, it's really just a matter of stopping. Of course we're going to be angry. You know, expect to be angry. It's funny because anytime I get angry, I'm always outraged that I'm angry. I'm outraged that someone could act that way. Of course they're going to act that way. I'm outraged that, you know, but think of really the nature of anger. And it's just so childish. It's just so spoiled. So really it's just a matter of the two things that you need when you get angry are oxygen and truth. And the next thing to go when you get angry is the truth, because you're in that emotion and your emotions are really a bunch of lies, you know. So really make sure you're breathing, make sure you're grounded, and then say, what is really going on? What is really going on here? You know, what is, and then, sure, there are times you need to advocate for yourself. We don't become doormats, but we just don't go out raging lunatics, you know, with all this, like, false righteousness about these things, when they're really just, so that's it. But it's hard to, because it's fun to be angry. You get an adrenaline rush when you're angry. So that's another thing, too. So we have to be, if we're going to do this stuff, we have to be brutally honest. And this is funny. I said this to someone last night. And we have to like the honest more than the brutal. I used to be brutally honest, but I liked the brutal more than the honest. I liked to just be the queen of candor and, you know, sort of like the Howard Stern of the truth. But it was not the point. That was hurtful. It was like I liked the brutal more than the honesty. You need to want the honesty more than the brutal. You have to recognize the adrenaline rush. Being angry makes you feel superior. Being angry, you know, let's go back to Nancy Grace, classic example, makes her feel superior. It makes her feel like she's a good person because she...
Or powerful, or in control.
Look, and it gives us power. And anger, that's coming from our root chakra. It's raw, it's unprocessed, it's primitive, it's animal. We are better than that. We evolved to better than that, yet we still act at that lower energy level. But we really do have to look at the adrenaline rush. Look at what you get from being angry. You get a rush. It's almost like doing a line of coke or something. Then you get to feel powerful because you can hold everyone hostage. Oh, she's mad. You know, oh, your dad's mad. He gets to hold the whole family hostage by this, you know, look at the power that we get from it. And then also look at how we can abdicate our personal responsibility when we get angry because it's special. I was angry. You know, it was like what you're really saying when you get angry is I'm not capable of crawling out of my root chakra. I have, you know, six cement balls and a raging root chakra, and I really am the emotional equivalent of a rhinoceros because, you know, I mean, that's what it is. That's really what it is, and it's hard to, and I'm not, you know, trust me, I already got angry four times today, so I'm not saying just be like me, you know, just be like me, and I got the adrenaline, and that's how I know what I'm saying right now, because I'm looking at when I got angry this morning. I got an adrenaline rush from it. I got to feel smart from it, and I didn't have to do what I really needed to do today because I was angry. So look at what you're getting. Look, and you don't have to feel love, you know, and you don't have to feel love, and you don't have to risk that they're going to not love you because you can assure they won't. You know, you're assuring an outcome when you're angry. You're not facilitating change, but it is. If we're just going to run around being, and that's where the shift is coming from, is that anger will no longer make sense because it's so primitive. You know, anger is going to be like rubbing two sticks together when you can go to the convenience store and buy a butane lighter. It just doesn't make sense. And you can see anger doesn't work. Look at it on a global level. You know, these wars everywhere. That's anger. Is it working? No. Look at it in the political system. You know, we hate the gays because they are not, you know, just this. It's not even anything remotely resembling Jesus. You know, it's look at where anger has infiltrated our entire, you know, we're angry at the earth, so we pollute it. You know, it really is just a root chakra, and that's really what the shift is going to be, is moving from root chakra, running around, acting like a primitive animal into being a higher vibration reflection of each of us can be Jesus. You know, there is, I believe in Jesus, and I don't just think he's like a role model or something, but each of us have the capacity in us to do the same things that Jesus did. But it requires operating at a higher, it requires operating at a higher vibration. And like Linda was saying yesterday, we operate a higher vibration. We operate out of our higher chakra, especially our heart chakra. It's the one we really need to be operating out of while we're human. And we won't even find things to be angry at because we won't even see that anymore. It will be like, I get how like a CEO of a company, they don't even know a lot of these little like, oh, and then they didn't put the right toner in the, you know, and that's the worst thing that happens to some. They think that the company's going down because their coworker put the wrong toner in. But the CEO of the company doesn't even know. They don't, and if you went up there, and they wouldn't even know what you were talking about. And that's the same thing is when we start operating at that higher level, anger won't even make sense to us anymore, and we won't even react to other people's anger or with fear or with some other improperly processed emotion. It will disappear. It will disappear from our view.
Yeah. Got another question here real quick. This one is, let's see, question from one of the guests at the house. If you feel pain in your heart chakra after someone, I got to get back up to it here. I didn't blog me out. Just a second. Let me grab that again. Okay. Okay, if you feel pain in your heart chakra after someone has put you down in, you guys, I'm trying to get back up to this. Okay, let me talk faster.
I think I know while you try to figure out. It doesn't matter. I had a really hard time with this because when Keith was sick, he had these family members, and they were. I just don't even want to redecorate hell and tell you about the things they were doing, but they were so cruel to me, and all these people were saying these horrible, horrible things about me. And they hurt me so bad. I didn't get angry, actually. I just got hurt. They made me powerless. They just made me depressed. And I wasn't even, I was just hurt and broken by it. And I was working with a hypnotherapist at the time. And it was before I really got in. I mean, I knew some of this stuff, but I didn't know at the level I knew now. And every day I would go in and say the whole thing. But the thing is, if they do that, remember, you know, they've won. They have won, you know. So I was like running around behind these people trying to tell people my version of the truth. And then people were reacting to me even worse. I was like, but, you know, and then I realized that's what it means. It does not matter what other people think of you. And that we're moving from that, we're moving back down into, you also have to, and I just wrote an article about grief and the chakras. You have to figure out what chakra took the blow. If something hurts you, and again, we didn't even hear the rest of the question, and hurts your feelings. It's your solar plexus is what took your self chakra is what took the hit. It wasn't, you know, your heart. You really need to break down, and that's the whole thing, is we just have these emotions and we just, you know, figure out where did it take the hit, because A, that's where you're gonna get sick if you don't process it. And B, it helps to just make more sense as to what happened. But what was the real question?
Okay, she reworded it a little bit. She said, if you feel pain in the heart chakra after being publicly put down on the internet, does this mean that I am believing this subconsciously, and do I need to not only forgive them but myself? And then Linda said she reworded it. So it's like, okay.
Okay. Well, first of all, oh, my God, the freaking internet. Facebook. All right. A couple weeks ago.
I responded to somebody's, somebody was on my, I guess, news feed or something, because, you know, I friended, you know, different people, or they were a friend of a friend or something. They made this comment that, you know, by some famous person, And I proceeded to drag my Bible out, and I quoted them about, oh, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 scriptures. I mean, I didn't quote the whole scripture. I just, you know, said, find this here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, first of all, this person wrote me back and went, it's like, well, if you believe that antique book, you know, it's like, might be God's, or it's like, I was going, so I was going to respond to this. I went to find them, and it's like, they either had blocked me or unfriended me or something because all their posts were gone. Totally out of my news feed. I went, oh, that was cute.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, oh, my God, there's so much to say. First of all, Facebook is a blessing and a curse. The other day, I saw that a friend of mine who friended me, it was a friend of mine from college, their widow, and she friended, and we were never really especially, whatever. She friends me. Well, then this one day, I went to go try to write something on a wall. I couldn't write on her wall. I was like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? Then I finally looked, and she had unfriended me. That took up my entire day. Okay, I have no phone, no car, a brother that's sick, financial problems, a job to do, a universe to heal, and I sat there and obsessed all day over someone I didn't even care about defriending me on Facebook. So the internet has allowed us to just throw our emotions out into the universe immediately. And, you know, there's all these different sort of people. The Bible, oh, my God, the Bible. A couple groups that I'm in, there was one big fight about whether or not there was hell. And someone said there was no hell. And then someone said something about what Jesus said. And then the person said, well, the Dalai Lama said this. I was like, oh, my God, we have Oprah over here in the left corner and Jesus in the right corner. And since Jesus hasn't been on Oprah, the Dalai Lama is going to win. You know, and my new statement about it is that the Bible is indeed inerrant. We just have no idea what it says. So, you know, if you're going to be out there on Facebook and putting stuff out there, you're going to have to either watch what you say. You know, people just say stuff because it's a classic example. People just say stuff that they feel, and they feel because they feel it. It is a fact. And so either, but also you have to recognize how frail the human spirit is and how desperate for love and acceptance that we are, that someone who I don't even care about unfriending me on Facebook would take up an entire day of my life, which could have been my last day. But at the same time, we just have to look at all the good things that came from Facebook. Honestly, if someone doesn't, you know, if you do not have the emotional fortitude to stand criticism, get off Facebook and go play Farmville. But don't
play Farmville.
Don't write your truth and have someone else respond with their truth, and
right,
then get insulted when they don't
right,
when they don't match. And the same thing for many people.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of people, I'm just so blessed that in what has happened to me in the past year, I learned about the importance, for me, I learned about the importance of the Bible. There are a lot of people who are very mad at organized religion, and they should be very mad at organized religion, and they take it out on the Bible, and they take it out on Jesus, and that's just their personal, you know, that's their personal experience. And hopefully by us shifting into these higher vibrational chakras and not just, you know, Facebooking from the fourth chakra and not the root chakra. My son made fun of it. He goes, you're always in all these psychic arguments. I thought you people were so evolved that you got along and we're just arguing over, you know, and it's true. And it is true. We're still just humans. And again, people, I know why I'm on Facebook all the time. You know, it gives me a distraction. It gives a whole, you know, a whole bunch of things. Look at any Facebook or chat room or any kind of angst you're having is your own. Own it and figure out where they have, you know, what button have they pushed? Because what's happened is we turn to Facebook and these other things to create these other tribes, because our real tribes, our family sort of let us down, and now we're starting to treat our imaginary friends, having the same problem with our imaginary friends as we were having with our three-dimensional tribe. So, you know, and it's just a bizarre, it's bizarre. The people, you know, people are, anyway, that's probably enough on that, but it's just, we're just crazy people. So take it for what it's worth. But anything that happens to you on Facebook, you did to yourself. I'll leave it at that.
Sure. Pretty much, yeah. So, like, what happened in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, anything that happens to you on
Facebook,
you are the only villain in Facebook is yourself, you know. So, anyway.
Ooh, nice and cool. Thank you.
That's a matter of the shield. That goes back to what Jethro was talking about, and shielding yourself. Everyone has gone through their own experience, and even more so on Facebook with the people that we don't really know in our real life. We don't know anything about where they're coming from. So it even becomes more difficult, you know, because sometimes people will say something and they'll be like, especially some of the stuff that I would say, people would argue with me, and it was like, and then they would find out, well, Keith had just died, and I was saying this because it was a direct result of what my, you know, and then they're all apologetic, you know, but before that, they were like, you know, ready to tar and feather you. But again, it's
right, in these times
where everyone's so fear-based and scared, and the rules are changing, we don't know what we're doing, really should not go out anywhere without being shielded. And whether you want to shield yourself with prayer, shield yourself. I have been praying a lot more, but not what I found was these prayers on, and I've been watching TV and evangelists and stuff like that, so that I can surround myself in prayer, because if my prayers, I think prayer, left to my own prayers, if I'm not mindful about them, they resemble more shopping lists than, or Christmas lists than they do prayers. So, you know, find a way to shield yourself, whether prayer shields you, whether energy work shields you, whatever, and make sure that you're grounded and shielded before you have any before you call like a credit card company or a bill collector or anything, pray or shield yourself or do something, because we're at war out there. There is a war of emotions going on out there because of the times that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And she said, thank you. So Kathy Lee Park says, yes, thank you. Okay. All righty. Let's see. We're having some other stuff going on in chat here. And it's like, Linda, what I'm about to write here is like from Bambi. Remember Thumper's dad, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all.
No, but you know what? Saying nice stuff when you don't mean it is a lie. And right now what we need more than anything is we need truth. But we need truth, but we need people who, you know, those kind of things where it's kind of little situations like that where these wars that can you believe what they said to me? And then it's so like real life. Then we have all these rescuers and all the archetypes all through time, all manifest themselves on Facebook. There's the peacemaker. There's the rescuer who views one of the people as a villain. There's the negotiator and all this kind of stuff. Just make sure that anything you say is make sure anything you say is true, you know, and don't try to make something, you know, just make sure anything that you say is true. And, you know, this idea of the this brutal honesty thing is really important to me. If you're saying something that's, I don't know if it's provocative is the word or earth-shattering, you know, even if it's, there are times when you have to speak, there are times you have to speak the truth. I go back. I was just having this discussion with my mother. I had to tell my six-year-old daughter that her grandfather, who was a war hero, West Point graduate, looked like, not my father, but my ex-husband's
father.
had molested three of his daughters and several of his granddaughters. I had to tell my six-year-old daughter, stay away from your grandfather. Now, the family thought I was just a loudmouth gossip, but that was a moment in time where the only thing that was going to save her was brutal honesty. But at that point in time, the honesty was more important than the brutalness. Had I told that same story to someone who was never going to meet their grandfather, you know, my coworker or something like that, then it was the brutal was more important than the honesty. Just ask anytime you're saying something, whether it's on Facebook or whether it's on in real life, on the phone, whatever, why are you saying it? And if you're saying it to get attention, people, you know, if you're saying it to get attention, you're in a bad mood and you want your, that is a fine reason to say something. Just know why you said it. And expect the, you know, like when these people write on Facebook, not to get all harped down on Facebook, but, you know, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. That's a real statement. And what some people's reaction to, I'm going to kill myself, is they call 911. So don't get mad at me. If you say you're going to kill yourself and I call 911,
I will take appropriate action.
Don't get mad. Don't call me the drama queen. You know, so just really, we need to be, we're in the information age. We're in the information age. Words are moving around faster than ever before. And we're in a period of time where words mean different things to different people because of our different cultures, because of our different whatever, because of our different religious beliefs. Words mean different things to different people. So watch your words and make sure that you can accept the consequences of it, because words are energy. Anything that's being put out there, we don't think of it as being energy. You know, like if you write something 3 a.m. and you're not sleeping, you know, you don't think of the fact that it's creating, it is altering the universe. Anything you say, anything you think, anything is altering the universe. And it's fine that you alter the universe. You're here on the planet. This part of your job description is to alter the universe, but you need to accept the consequences
thereof.
You know,
right.
Accept the responsibility, and the best way to accept the responsibility and live up to all this is process everything through your heart chakra, not your root. You know, really, if there was only going to be two chakras we were going to talk about, it would be the heart and the root, and moving from being root-based to heart-based. And the rest of them would fall into, you know, the rest of them would, because really the heart chakra is the love chakra, the root chakra is the fear chakra. And really that's really the world we're operating in, love or fear, and the catalyst for change from one to the other is forgiveness.
90 seconds. They gave us 90 seconds there. Okay.
Anything else?
Okay.
Nope, I'm still here. I was just waiting to see if there was any, because I'm sort of on a, I'm sort of halfway between my heart shot. Most of this is coming out of my root chakra. My outrage of all of this. And please, most
okay.
of this, I'm telling, if there was any day when I needed to hear this stuff myself, most of what I spewed out was instructions to myself of how to live the rest of the day, because it's so easy to get caught up in this lower vibration.
Because
sure.
we do it all the time. We're immersed in it. I know. And it's like, and you have
and
to...
And everyone else is
really
doing it. Why do we have to be the only... Why do we have to be the only grown-up? Because we were choosing.
We're supposed to set an example.
Exactly. And that's it. You know, if you want... This isn't... I mean, and Caroline Mice... I love her. She's like the Judge Judy of all of this stuff. This isn't a game. This is not a game. This isn't entertainment. You know, and you really do, if you're going to operate in the world of the spirit, you really do have to give up a part of this world. I mean, it takes a level of emotional maturity. We have to walk with grace.
10 seconds.
And we have to be willing to be sometimes uncomfortable. We have to sometimes experience process painful things. We just can't be bliss and innies. That's the big thing, is we don't want to be bliss and innies. We want to be instruments of change and healers.
Yeah. Yep, indeedy. All righty. Well, this segment is going to go in our archives. So this is Amy's segment on number four, fourth chakra, the heart chakra. It will be in our archives, so, you know, if you guys, like, missed part of it or, you know, got the first or last and want to hear the rest, it's like it'll be in there. Thank you all for joining us today. And Chester was in the room a little bit earlier. He is going to be on today at 4 p.m. Eastern Time with the new show he's got over there, the Reverend Jethro, at 714-333-3354. 4 o'clock Eastern, so it's like 2 o'clock Mountain Time, 1 o'clock Pacific Coast, and 3 o'clock Afternoon Central Time. Again, get a hold of him at www.jethrosmith.net, and it's 928-284-0437 or psychicjethro@aol.com. And his special, the July special this month, is called the Coffee Reading. So it's like, if you guys give me a call at 719-289-4907. I walk you through the back office of, you know, buying the coffee. It's like, for a box of coffee, he'll do a 30-minute reading. And if somebody wants to go ahead and do it as a business and do the business sign-up or, you know, sign up to get a wholesale crisis, Jethro will do a 60-minute reading. So you're getting kind of a double-decker stack on that one. It's like, you know, you get a business and a reading all in one day, or you get some great coffee, whichever. So anyway, well, thank you, Amy, so much. It's like, I'm really surprised. The love pack has you know, let us be on there. And Linda is going to be on with Psychic Jethro on Friday, back here at 773-897-6461. And let me think. Tomorrow we have a guest I haven't met yet. It's like Jethro gave me her number this morning, so it'll be kind of a surprise guest for all of us. But we've got somebody on tomorrow. She's a card reader, as I understand. And so we'll all tune in tomorrow and see what Jethro Smith has in store for us, especially me. So anyway, all right. Well, thank all you guys for being here today. And let's see. Yeah, I have such a hard time trying to do this thing here. It's like trying to talk and think at the same time. But thank you so much, Amy. And I know we will see you again next Wednesday, because next Wednesday is going to be fifth chakra, which is the
throat chakra.
All righty. Speaking our truth, speaking of which, all righty.
Exactly.
Sounds
great.
Good.
Thanks, everybody.
All righty. And check out Amy's site, Awakening Claire. It's like, is it a site or on Facebook? Oh, I think I lost her.